Hey there, everybody. It's Mike Winokur, and today we're with the Golden Bold. We are with Mateo Beckles.
How's it going?
And we got Nate Dawes here as well.
Thank you.
So we're going to be doing this, I guess, weekly podcast. Some are going to be live, some aren't, but this is the first one. So we're kind of going to see how this goes. We're going to start off with Nate here.
Yep, we're finally back, Golden Bold. Mm-hmm. A bit late, but hey, sports is beginning. Glad to be back here at Laurier for another year. I graduated at the end of last year. I'm sticking around doing the Radio Laurier stuff. And let me tell you, the thing that has really been insane about this year is, like, this year I'm living in Kitchener because I don't have to be stuck in, like, student housing or whatever, which is a blessing in and of itself, but the downside is I've got to take the bus all the way to Kitchener every day. And I'm here because I got to let people into the Radio Laurier office until, like, 11 o'clock every night. And then last week, I had forgotten about this. Is this a thing that's happened before? Just, like, King Street being cluttered with bananas?
The banana crawl. Yes, it has. They do this about once a year, and it's pretty cool. I've heard about this for the first time in first year, actually 2 years ago. I'm in third year now. And about once a year, they come by, and they go to, like, all these different schools in Ontario. Like, Mateo could tell you a little bit better about it. I actually bumped into him wearing a banana costume last on Saturday. He looked ridiculous.
Yeah, well, no, I'll tell you what. I think, you know, two or 3 years ago, I was just kind of, I think we were walking around downtown. It might have been in Toronto or it might have been, you know, uptown Waterloo. And, you know, the first time you see a bunch of people in banana costumes, you're like, you know, what's going on? Kind of looked it up, I think, later in the night and, like, oh, banana bar crawl. Like, you know, that's probably not something I'll ever tap into. About a week and a half ago, I get the call, hey, do you want to, you know, dress up as a banana and go to bars? And I was like, well, yes, I do. You know, like, I'll take a beer and I'll dress up as a banana. So, yeah, it was a good time. Ran into Mikey there. And I think it's something that you have to do once. And I can understand, you know, being on the outside and you're just like, gosh, like, all these bananas are ruining my night. But when you really, when you really get into that, like, banana state of mind, it'll change you.
I got two questions for that. First of all, what do you mean you get the call? Who's giving the call? Who's calling the bananas?
Well, like, I'm a connected guy, right?
And you're so, a connected guy. You
know, it's going to get back to me. So the call came in. I don't want to sell anybody out. Came in.
The banana... Are the banana costumes centrally circulated? Or is this like, this is your time, this is your place. Buy a banana, be there.
No. It all comes from, like... There's an organization.
Okay,
right?
there's an organization.
They're all organizing the banana bar crawl city to city. And so the bananas come in and you got to go pick up the banana suits and they're, you know, distributed amongst your group. But yeah, no, it's like serious business here. It's not just to get your banana. You got to have consistent quality and you got to like just be in there. But yeah, no, it was picked up for me. I didn't even do the dirty work. It was really a really effortless kind of weekend there and had a good time. I will say you've got to tap in.
You weren't one of the central bananas who was circulating banana suits out to other people.
Oh, no. Okay. That's too much responsibility.
You're not the top banana, you would say?
Yeah, no, I'm like just kind of street-level banana, to be honest.
Street-level banana.
Yeah, but that's fine.
You can still get 25 to life if you have like 3 strikes on that. You can go right to jail. Street-level stuff, it's serious business. Also, you mentioned a banana state of mind.
Yeah.
What's that like?
Well, I don't know. Like, you know, when I was in that suit, just this year, I've been feeling a kind of like, you know, a theme of just kind of releasing your inhibitions. Like, you know, just really
feeling
get out there.
Feeling the rain on your skin?
So they say. Dressed up as a banana, though, like, I don't know. At the end of the day, everybody else here is a banana. What do you have to lose?
That is true. One thing I will say, I came a little bit later to the bar, and I was a little bit of the odd man out for not having the banana costume.
It was
absolutely packed. I looked ridiculous with that.
You can't be that guy.
You hate to be the guy not wearing the banana suit. True. Yeah. In the world where everyone's wearing the banana suit, the man who's not wearing the banana suit looks crazy.
Totally. You look ridiculous. I'll tell you, I actually have a buddy, one of the guys I live with. In the last 2 years, we've done the banana costumes, but he doesn't go as the banana. He goes in a monkey suit. He's the monkey.
That's a good pull, honestly.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah. But I will say, going back to that that ride to Kitchener, I've only, like, you know, ventured into Kitchener by GRT once. I think me and my friends were going to Chick-fil-A. We were just, like, really craving some Chick-fil-A. We're like, you know, let's rip a Kitchener bus ride. I think it took an hour just to get to the mall there. What's it called? Like, Fairview? Yeah. Brutal.
Fairway, something.
It's fair.
It's at the south end, yeah.
But I would do it again, you know. Mm-hmm. Just when you get the craving, it comes. But yeah, not a fan of that commute at all.
Indeed. It does take a while, and I got to do it twice every day in the summer. when I started this job, I was walking, and I will say that is worse.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I will say, just to get to the border of Kitchener took an hour. I walked it once carrying a guitar case. That was a mistake I'm not making again.
Yeah, not what you want to do.
No. I'm happy to be in the swing of things, happily taking the bus. But we are a month into the year now.
We are.
We're through the banana bonanza, if you will. And we are getting to the start of U Sports. We're going to start off talking about some U Sports today.
Sure. Yeah. So I'll just kind of jump in there. The first thing we'll talk about, obviously, is Laurier football team, right? Last year, the Yates Cup champions behind number 13, Taylor Algersma.
Big now, bro.
He was a monster. He was a monster, right? We saw him. We got another opportunity with the Green Bay Packers in the summer. And he definitely made some noise, getting a chance to go to the Senior Bowl. But the one thing that was an issue for this team potentially was that he wasn't coming back.
Yeah.
A lot of the team was coming back, but there was a lot of questions at quarterback. So they bring in this guy, Cal Wither, from the University of Ohio, D1, yeah, NCAA. Canadian guy. Yeah. But no one had really seen him play. He didn't really get a chance at the University of Ohio. And since then, Mateo, I'm sure you could touch on this. He's just been terrific. They're 6-0, the number one team in the country, and they're absolutely rolling, Mateo, if you want to tap into that.
Yeah, honestly, people knew that like Taylor Algersma wasn't coming back like at the end of last year. And so I thought, you know, and many others thought, like, okay, we had our time like at Yates, we got to Vanier, but it might drop off now. But honestly, like, they really haven't missed a beat, right? And it's still, you know, Laurier 1, Western 2, which was what we saw, you know, most of last season. Honestly, Laurier was ranked number 2 nationally for a lot of last season. They had like a Quebec team at number 1. And so, honestly, like, despite the fact that Algersma is gone, they look, you know, even stronger than they did before. And yeah, they were pretty fortunate to have Cal Wither kind of fall into their laps, because you're looking at before, okay, we're going to have to, you know, go down the quarterback depth and see who's going to be the next one to step up and if they can fill those shoes, cuz, you know, this guy went to the NFL, played in NFL preseason games out of a Canadian university, which you don't see often. But yeah, they're really fortunate to have that gap filled. And yeah, they're rolling right now.
Yeah, it's been pretty cool. It's nice to see Montreal and Laval, who are supposedly the two top teams in Montreal. With them both losing games, it gave the undefeated Laurier Golden Hawks a chance to become the number one team nationally right now. And if I'm being honest, I just don't see them slowing down anytime soon. They have to play Carleton on Friday. They have to play Friday Night Lights for anybody who's going to be going to that. And then from there, it's the playoffs. They're going to end up getting a first-round bye, assuming they take care of business on Friday. I'm sure they will. And they're just not slowing down. They have a spectacular roster. A lot of their roster did come back from last year. And the number one guy who we talk about is Ethan Jordan, who's potentially the best player in the country, looking for another 1,000-yard season, which is very, very unprecedented. I think he needs another 113, something like that. So they're rolling. That's a great squad. Michael Falds is really, really doing a good job there with Galloway and Coach V and all those guys. So it's great. But now I guess we have some other sports to talk about. We have Laurier hockey starting up for men's and women's. We have Laurier basketball coming up. And I'll leave it to Mateo to start off with talking about Laurier hockey.
Yeah, so Laurier hockey starting up. I'm going to be on the play-by-play call for men's and women's hockey. And they're really coming out of two really different seasons, last regular season. the men, to play it bluntly, like, I think the stat is they had their lowest winning percentage in a season since they were called Waterloo Lutheran University in the early 70s. And so, you know, they're really looking to turn things around this year. Obviously, it's a cliche, but they are. And so a lot of the recruits, there's a lot of new guys, new faces on this team. But a lot of the guys they've added have been just like offensive minded, scoring focused, because that was their problem. And, you know, head coach Kevin Forrest, you'd probably see the same thing. They couldn't score, especially early on. And so you see a lot of high scoring forwards, Eastern Conference MVP from the GOJHL, which is now the GOHL. And even their defensemen, just puck moving, high scoring offensive defensemen. So you can see what the focus was going into the season. And, you know, they're hoping to turn things around. Like I said, their preseason was it was iffy. They had some losses and they picked up a couple of wins against Guelph, but they've started the regular season well in Toronto, 4-2 wins over TMU and U of T, and they're going to be playing on Thursday, their home opener. So a good start, and that's the biggest goal, is just get on the scoreboard and get on it early on.
Because mm-hmm. that momentum can be so much, like, when your team is having the worst season they've had ever, it's not easy to turn that around. Like, that gets in your head. And it's been super impressive to see the way that the team has started this year. Andrew Ness, a new goalie, a first year, right? Lights out against TMU, not a shutout, but like facing 40 shots and only allowing two. And then again, like against U of T, you're seeing some what are honestly questionable defensive plays in the first period. A lot of centering passes just to no one in front of Laurier's own net, which got cleaned up and the defense was looking incredible by the end. But the stops that Ness made have been incredibly impressive for someone who's this is his first year with the team. And so Laurier is looking like they're in an absolutely great place with the men's hockey team right now. We'll be starting to call all those home games on Radio Laurier coming up. And so it's been really cool starting to follow that and seeing ooh, we're going to be having good games airing on Radio Laurier in the coming.
Yeah. And with that men's hockey team, just to touch, Andrew Ness, Tristan Malbeuf has been playing well. Laurier's never really had a problem between the pipes. Even Christian Propp, when I was in my first year, he was the MVP of their season. We said that every time that we were on the broadcast, but the goalie position is somewhere where they've had a lot of security. And so it's a bit of a culture reset right now. Their captain just signed in England after his university career. And so they're looking to kind of reset that. I'm pretty sure they haven't named the captain. And so they're just in a mode where they're rebuilding, they're retooling, they're trying to reestablish what the identity of this team is, turn them into a high scoring team, and just try and get themselves back up to where they were not even a year ago, because we saw in my first year, they'd made the playoffs. They advanced the second round, I'm pretty sure it was. And then it dropped off pretty quick. So they've just got to return to form in a way.
Mm-hmm. It is an important year. You said the goaltending has been great. The goaltending has been great. As I look at the roster, it does appear to be a newer team. A lot of the older guys have graduated. And we're really going to get a chance to see how good of a job Kevin Forrest has not only recruited, but also developed, because this is going into his fourth year now. And not to say he's on the hot seat, but this is an important year. You can't go 5-24-4 again. You can't do that. The student body, they want to see a winner. The town loves hockey, and they want to see a winner as well. So we're excited to see how it plays out. Obviously, we're going to be cheering for those guys and the Golden Hawks. So now going into the women's hockey.
I'm big on the women's hockey team, I'll tell you. I mean, a lot of the times when I called play-by-play last year, it was for the women's team. And so, I've gotten to see them up close, personal, firsthand, Woodstock charity game in the playoffs. And so they're a team where they were sort of the opposite of the men's team, in which, 10 years back, if you look at their record, it was just, it was bad looks for the program. But just last season, it was the winningest season they've had in the past 10 years. Two rookie of the year finalists, Claire Chisholm, Sarah Howell, both of them all rookie first team. Sarah Howell wins the OUA rookie of the year. Kelly Patton, their coach, is just great, and they've just got a really solid foundation. They've added some new recruits, but more so I'd say complementary pieces. They actually got a really good defender who's here to do her master's in criminology, I think. And so they've got a really solid team. They unfortunately ran into Waterloo in the playoffs last year, who was just, they were just a really complete team. They got a lot of players who played nationally, represented Canada in certain tournaments at some points. But women's hockey, I think they've got a good team on their hands as those all-stars, those all-rookies develop and, continue their university careers. I think they're going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Indeed. So some names we're looking out for in the women's hockey team this year. You mentioned Chisholm. You mentioned also...
Yeah, Sarah Howell, their goalie. She's... And the same thing with the women's team. Just between the pipes, they've never really... It's never really been that shaky because they all have two or three solid options to go to. But Sarah Howell was just, different. She made the all rookie as a goalkeeper, and she was just holding it down. And especially in the playoffs, there were a lot of dangerous chances up close and personal in Waterloo. We all attended the I think it was game three at Rim Park here in Waterloo. It was a home game, and just got to see them firsthand, and they unfortunately fell to the Warriors, but it was just a great effort, and it's just the beginning of a new look for this program.
The benefit of having that kind of security at goalie is it makes everything it allows new players, things like that, to make a couple mistakes. And
yeah,
things.
You can breathe easier for sure.
Exactly. A team with a bad goalie is generally a bad team.
Mm-hmm.
It's so great that we're going to be able to look forward to this team being able to focus entirely on its defense, its actual scoring potential, which is something that it's way easier to retool, reconsider the way that you do that stuff on the fly if it's not working. But it's been working out, so...
And in university, you know, you've got a constant conveyor belt of people coming in and out. And so when you're fortunate enough to have a recruiting class be as strong as it was last year, it just really makes you able to breathe easier, knowing that you've got that insurance between the pipes, and just knowing that you've got a solid core that all happened to come in the same year. And so you should be smooth sailing for the next at least 2-3 years.
It changes the program for sure.
Yeah,
it really definitely does. And you, what you mentioned about the security of having a great goalie, like you see in the NHL, you see in junior hockey as well, that the teams that are having success in the playoffs, the teams that are winning championships, are the teams where their goalie is getting hot at the right time, right? Because it is a game of, you're getting hot at the right time, and you need your goalie to be getting hot at the right time.
Yeah, very rarely in pro hockey you're going to see a team win the championship despite their goaltender. It's off more often than not because of them.
Totally. So talking about women's hockey, because they are considered to be a very strong team. Where are we thinking about where they are in the standings for the? I'm guessing they have playoff aspirations. They have.
Yeah, you've got to be expecting or hoping that you're going to see. If at the very least you're going to push past last year. Last year there was a disappointing exit, like you were saying, right in the first round of the playoffs, and we want to see the team's not going for the regular season this year. Like, you got to try, but the hopes are going to be that we can reach that point and then find some way to push past this year, right?
Yeah, it's definitely a push for the playoffs. But I mean, even in that regular season, I think at the end of last year they were ranked 9th nationally, so they're already top 10 in youth sports, which is great, and it's completely different than what they'd seen earlier. But it was just, you know, unfortunately they run into Waterloo, and Waterloo's ranked 6th, ranked 5th, right? So That might be the hump that you have to get over, depending on what sort of season Waterloo has, if they keep it up. I know a lot of their, you know, their core players were sort of, you know, in their 4th, 5th year of academic eligibility. And so I haven't really looked at the Warriors roster to see who's coming back and who they've recruited, but that was a thorn in their side.
Yeah.
And they were like so hot going into the playoffs and just weren't able to get over that hump. But definitely you got to think they're pushing to just make it further in the playoffs, and their sights are set on some greatness.
Speaking of Waterloo, obviously here at Laurier, we have a particular relationship with Waterloo. They're the crosstown rivals. And on the topic of basketball, upcoming on the 24th to 25th, both home openers for us are going to be, or sorry, is it Halloween or the home openers for? Yeah, I think the men's and women's home openers for basketball are both going to be on Halloween and against UW, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's basketball looking like this year?
Well, I'll tell you what, as somebody who is at a lot, actually at every single, almost virtually every single Laurier basketball game last year, in my opinion, it could go either way, honestly. The men's team, they had their ups and downs. They weren't able to make the playoffs, but also, you know, it's a new look men's team. I mean, Tay Donald, who is, you know, their best player for a couple of years when I started at Laurier, he's gone now. And so you've got to wonder who can step into that role and be the number one guy. But also, you know, they were still sort of figuring things out. They had Cavell, the head coach, come in on an interim basis, and now he's, you know, went through that process and is here. He's here to stay. And so the men's team, honestly, it could get better or it could get worse. They were just sort of in that middling position where they just weren't quite good enough consistently to make that playoff push. And the women's team, honestly, are in sort of a similar spot. They lost a lot of their starters. Janet Enge, you heard a lot about her just throughout the year, and she's at U of T now. And yeah, just a lot of turnover, like we were talking about in youth sports, and that can make it uncertain with regards to how your season's going to progress. They did make the playoffs, but unfortunately they got bounced by Guelph in, you know, the first playoff game that they played. So not too far off from the season that the men's team saw, just a better regular season. They've got a new head coach as well, and so basketball is just sort of in an area where it could go really well, it could go really poorly. In 2 years ago, the year before last for the men's team, I mean, you know, the athletic complex was always packed. It was an electric team. They were ranked pretty high nationally, and then it just, you know, they lost some guys, and it just took a big halt. And so, yeah, I mean, with basketball, it's for me, as somebody who was there but hasn't really kept up with what sort of moves they're making internally and decisions they're making, it's just, it's a bit uncertain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And as somebody who's, for myself, I'm now getting more into men's and women's basketball as I really wasn't as much last year. I did get a chance to check out some games. What I will say about Cavell Johnson, who's now he's not the interim head coach anymore, but he's actually the head coach now, is that those guys, they play hard for him. You could tell, like, those guys are bought in. And when that's happening, guys are developing, guys are getting better. And mm-hmm. if guys are hitting shots, they're going to be a tough defensive team. They're going to be able to compete against anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you have to remember, it was sort of a transition period. I mean, Laurier's head coach 2 years ago left for the Raptors 905. He's an assistant coach there now. And like I was saying, just a lot of those guys left, and it was just sort of, you had to reset, but the foundation was sort of inconsistent. Now, the guys, they want to buy into Cavell and what his vision is. And so I think that genuinely that could have been just honestly a year of finding your footing. And this is where we'll see that return to where they were 2 years ago.
So now, Nate, I think you want to talk a little bit about the Blue Jays.
We got to talk about the Blue Jays.
Because they are rolling. Holy smokes, they're playing well.
Two games in a row, more than 10-plus runs in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Against the Yankees. Like, it's... You could almost not ask for a better matchup here, again, in terms of just like something more satisfying for who you're trying to stomp on. Mm-hmm. And like you're saying, the Jays are absolutely rolling right now. It is beautiful watching it come together like this, especially given the way that the like regular season was great. They were going to breeze into the playoffs, and then all of a sudden, everything gets really inconsistent.
It was stressful for sure.
Yeah, it was weird watching it. They were going to make the playoffs, absolutely, but like all of a sudden, the Yankees are coming right up on them, and it's like, what's going to happen here? Are we going to somehow manage to, like, are the Yankees going to get hot at the right time, like you were saying, in the playoffs, and are the Jays going to just drop the ball after what we saw last year from the Jays, after we've seen over the last 10 years since the last time they were really playoff viable, as we've mm-hmm. been watching the new core really grow up? There's been a lot of, like, I don't know, man. And like living in Toronto, it's always scary watching sports. Yeah. There's always a chance that the team that you love is going to just drop the ball for whatever reason. So like seeing them come out so strong in the first two games at Rogers Center has been really, really impressive. And seeing the stars do star things, seeing Vladdy hit the grand slam, seeing, again, I was saying this to you the other day, but like Treya Savage is such an exciting young player to watch. And we're getting the benefit right now of the fact that like these are his first games in the league. He throws a bit weird and people don't know how to hit him yet.
That high angle.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. But I'm not going to complain. If they manage to learn in the next like 16 games, that's a problem. But like, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Gift horse in the mouth, you know.
There we go, got it.
Yeah, yeah, gift horses always have that mouse.
Yeah.
It's incredible to see him rolling the way he is. Yeah, what do y'all think?
I will say this. Honestly, I'm a bit more of a pessimist when it comes to sports, especially looking into the postseason. Mm-hmm. And so we're in the regular season. It's coming towards the end. The Yankees are about to catch us. Our bullpen is looking like, what's going on here? And the bats would just wake up and then come to sleep randomly, mm-hmm. you know, especially throughout that back half. And so I was like, okay, if we, you know, if we run into these Yankees in the postseason, it might be wraps. And so thankfully in that last series, we held on. We didn't lose a game, and we won just because of that head to head. But I'm watching the wild card series, and I'm looking at the Yankees, and I'm looking at Boston. And with Boston, you know, Garrett Crochet is obviously, he's insane. Aroldis Chapman has had a resurgence, which has been crazy, and he's been around the major leagues.
He was
so
a
long.
Problem last time that the Leafs were, or, sorry, the Jays were competing with the Yankees for the wild card.
Exactly.
He's a monster.
And so, you know, I'm watching that, and the Yankees pull through, and I'm just like, all right, you know, let's see what happens. But there's two things. I forgot that we absolutely owned the Yankees during the regular season, like, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
And then also, just like you were saying, and something that sports fans of certain teams might not see that often, but their stars just really took it to the next level in the playoffs, honestly.
It's always fun when your stars deliver in the playoffs.
Yeah, seriously.
It's been insane. You know, Vladdy, you know, people look at Aaron Judge and they're like, oh, like, he goes to sleep during October. Mm-hmm. Vladdy is just completely... you know, beat those allegations and turned it completely around. Two homers, two games. Even, you know, Ernie Clement is launching moonshots. Mm-hmm. Nathan Lucas is making great plays in the field. Like, everybody's really stepping up, which is what you need to see in the postseason. And you're really thankful that after, you know, so long without a postseason win, I think it was since 2016, despite our playoff appearances, the Jays have really, you know, come to show everyone what they're about, even despite that bye week.
And that is the benefit. You mentioned Ernie Clement there. One of the kind of the insurance that the Jays have this year is that even if the stars weren't hitting, like, this year, there's been batting up and down.
Yeah, the platoon's going to come up. Davis Schneider, Ernie Clement, just all those guys are really chipping in. And, you know, even Andrés Giménez, it's, you know, the bottom of the eighth and you're down by three. And we're like, oh, you know, Vlad's, you know, killing earthworms in the with all those ground balls. And then Andrés Giménez just, like, launches a moonshot. So no matter who it is, somebody's going to step up. And they've all stepped up early in this ALDS.
Mm-hmm. Things we got to mention though, it's not great when at the end of the game a 5-run lead is a fraction of what the lead used to be. And you were talking about the bullpen.
Sorry, does this actually worry you?
I don't know. Like, it's a bad note to leave Toronto on when we're going to New York, but like. I don't know. The bullpen was never the strongest point, and if they can keep hitting, it's not a massive problem, but it's worth mentioning.
I'll say this. They were up, you know, they had 13 runs, and so I probably would have been much more upset about the amount of runs that they gave up, just even not even in the back half of the game, just entirely localized within that seventh inning. But it's a good reality check, I would say, because this is the playoffs at the end of the day, and you're not going to beat every team in a blowout. And so heading into New York, I think it's good to keep in mind that it's still a good baseball team and you've got to be careful. And I think even John Schneider, he was cognizant of what the score was and didn't pull out, you know, his crazy good arms. Like we didn't see him pull out Louis Varland immediately. We haven't seen Sir Anthony Dominguez yet. And so he was trying to, like, okay, I'm going to use my not so good arms at first. Mm-hmm. It didn't go so well. But I don't think it's the end of the world.
We still, the aces in the hole are still rested as we go into the third game. Mm-hmm. We want a sweep.
Yeah, sweep would be very nice.
I would like one.
As we remember from 2016 against the Rangers, these 2-0 leads, they are not as safe as you would think. They're really not. It's just two games. They're in the Bronx. So yeah, we're gonna get a chance to see Shane Bieber and Carlos Rodon tonight. Shane Bieber is the guy we got from Cleveland, for those who don't know. Great acquisition.
Yep.
And he's a guy, he's dealt with some elbow issues over the last couple of years, but when he's healthy and when he's on, he's absolutely one of the best.
He's a Cy Young winner.
He's a stud. He's a stud. Yeah. And now we're up against Carlos Rodon, who's a pretty good lefty. He's a guy where you're gonna see some starts out of him where he's gonna go give you 7 good innings. But you're also gonna get some starts out of him where one or two bad things happen, infield single, somebody kicks around the ball, and next thing you know, the floodgates start to open. So
that's kind of what we saw with Max Fried just the other day, right? Exactly. You know, that's their ace. And, you know, once they kind of tore things open and he was out by the fourth, right? Mm-hmm. So you've just got to get to those guys early.
You do, yeah. You want to get into the pen early, and that is one nice thing. You say that the Jays' pen hasn't been that great. The Yankees' pen really hasn't been that great. Even in Boston, when they played against Boston, like, if I remember right, Max Fried gives them 7 great innings in game one. Mm-hmm. And then Luke Weaver comes in, craps the bed, and all these other guys come in. They also crap the bed. And that's how Boston got their first and actually only win, which is nice. So that's also a nice thing when you're scoring a lot of runs, you're forcing these teams to use a lot of arms. And late in series, that starts to add up. The depreciation starts to come in. And then you get a really good opportunity to put some numbers up against some guys who you have the ability to. Like, the Jays have the bats. The bats are playing super well right now. Like, you look at Dalton Varsho. He's on fire. Vladdy's on fire. It feels like 1-9's on fire.
So honestly, yeah. And to your point, something as a baseball watcher, because I don't think I've watched this intently since 2021, the year we had Marcus Semien and you know, Guerrero were both on MVP seasons. Mm-hmm. We had Robbie Ray, Cy Young performance. But something I become a lot more, you know, cognizant of is that pitch count, right? Because you get to these, you know, you have those extended at bats, 7-pitch at bats in the first inning, and all of a sudden, you know, these guys are at 80 pitches in the third. And, you know, when you can get to that bullpen early, it's just a golden opportunity to exploit it, because especially with the Yankees, the contrast between their starters, their amazing starters who the Jays have been fortunate enough to get to, and then their bullpen, which has been iffy, if not iffier than ours, iffy. It's just it's something that, you know, I'm always looking to see, like, what's that pitch count? How many balls have we fouled off right now? So yeah, definitely bullpen's going to be a big factor.
Yeah, quality at bats, that's a good stat. That's a telling stat. And in these series, in these best of fives, right, the Yankees are going to need great pitching. They really are, because the Jays hit the Jays bats. They have been, oh man, have they been hot? Have they been cold all year? They drive me crazy, if I'm being honest. They absolutely drive me crazy. But they're playing great right now. They're doing well. Vladdy did his best he could in September to not lock up this division. He really did. And then you see Bo go down, and it's just a double.
It's all falling off.
It was a crapshoot, right? Because we've seen in the wild card when we played the Twins a couple years ago that the wild card is just not very fun. It's wild for the wrong reasons, right? Mm-hmm. So it's lucky that we're getting timely hitting right now. And Shane Bieber, I could not be more excited about this guy on the bump today. It worked out really well that they threw Trey Savage in Toronto. Mm-hmm. And I guess teams aren't used to him because he's new. The scouting report really isn't out on him. Mm-hmm. And it's true, right? Like, you look at him, he started the year in A-ball, which is hilarious. He had 11 starts in single A this year, but he's coming in and he looked ready for the moment, right? Like, he looked ready for the moment. He threw hard. He threw strikes. And you say if teams are going to start to figure him out, if he's hitting spots like he was the other day, there's just nothing you can even do with that. Like, it just doesn't matter.
It was insane watching people just swinging like idiots, like in replays. It was just mind-blowing. It's the kind of thing that makes you just really need to suppress the spirit of that beer league uncle who thinks he could hit that.
Seriously.
Because he wouldn't swing at that when, like, absolutely you would, because he's good. Like,
yeah, he's great. He's great. He's a guy that they're going to be investing in heavy over the next couple of years. He's a top prospect for him. And what I really, really like, he only allowed one base runner his entire outing, 5 1/3.
Yeah, the walk to
and then he walked Aaron Judge. You don't want to. That's a guy. Yeah. If you're going to win the series, if you're not letting that guy beat you,
exactly. Sure.
And the fact that he's doing that gives me all the confidence in the world in him.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, honestly, Trey, it's unprecedented from a rookie. I mean, despite the fact that they haven't seen his stuff before, it's just 11 strikeouts, right? And the Yankees are a team that they have pretty good plate discipline, honestly. Like, despite, you know, we like to crap on the Yankees, but they're not a team that chase a lot of pitches. But you saw Stanton, you saw Judge, you saw Bellinger, just all, you know, digging for earthworms, like I was saying, with that splitter. Just, it's been insane. Mm-hmm. And honestly, that play discipline is something that benefits the Jays as well, because, you know, they're not a crazy slugging team like the 2015 team was. And those quality at bats, they just really extend them by taking a lot of pitches, fouling a lot off, and then just getting those balls in the gap. So play discipline is also a big difference maker in the series.
It is. Have either of you guys been keeping up at all with the rest of the MLB, or not as much, mostly just the Jays?
Not too much.
Okay, that's all. We don't have to talk about it. Okay.
No. What do you have? You?
I have a little bit. It was just,
what are we looking at? If the Jays sweep, who are we facing?
It's either Tigers or Mariners.
The Tigers or the Mariners. So what I will say is that, so the Tigers won game one, and the initial thought process, if you watch, I think you were watching some of the wild card stuff, but the initial idea is that you have to beat the Tigers three times. But you're going to face Tarek Skubal twice, who, for those of you who don't know who Tarek Skubal is, he is an absolute monster. He's probably the best pitcher in the league, and he absolutely dominated the Indians in the wild card. Mm-hmm. Similar to how Gary Crochet dominated the Yankees. So we're very lucky that we don't have to play Boston, because that guy's also a monster. Mm-hmm. But the Mariners come back in game two. Jorge Polanco hits two bombs off of Tarek Skubal. Next thing you know, it's 1-1. Do you have any idea of who you would rather face between the two? Or
I think, honestly, I'd rather face Detroit.
Yeah, you'd rather face Detroit?
I think I'd rather face Detroit. I don't want to face Kyle Raleigh, honestly.
You don't want to face Kyle Raleigh?
And, like, Detroit, obviously, Skubal, he's insane. And I think you just got to do your best against him. But I think the team behind him is just not as good as the Mariners' offense. Mm.
You're right. They're really not. Sorry, what were you going to say?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but in terms of the tiebreaker in the main season, in the regular season, I think the Mariners were one of the teams that actually ate the Jays' lunch, right? Is this something that I'm forgetting?
No, you're all right about it. No, the Mariners honestly had a terrific year. They really did. They had a lot of bats who played really well behind potentially the MVP, the big dumper, Cal Raleigh, who has 60 bombs as a switch hitter and catcher, which is kind of egregious. Won the home run derby as well. He's an absolute beast. They traded for some more bats at the deadline, and they honestly have a pretty good rotation as well. So they are a good team. You look at the Tigers on the other hand. I don't know if you guys kept up with them. You hear about the Jays not playing well in September. These guys had like
total collapse,
an unprecedented collapse.
Up almost 15, as bad as the Mets, eh?
Like as bad as it gets. Yeah, like literally just as bad as the Mets. It was terrible. Like they're up 15 and a half games on their counterpart, the Indians, in July. And next thing you know, it's the last game of the season. They're kicking the ball around and they end up blowing their division. They end up getting it back by beating the Indians, but it was an absolute disaster. And they haven't played that great in the last 2 months either.
The team now known as the Guardians.
It's the Guardians. It's the Guardians. Yes. I'm a little bit of a baseball fan. I've known the Indians for my whole life. So you're right. It is the Guardians, the Cleveland Guardians.
Yes, indeed. Probably for the best.
I mean, the Guardians are a cool name. The logo seems to be pretty cool. And people don't seem to dislike it. So we're gonna stick around with the Guardians.
Cool.
We're not gonna call them the Indians.
All right. Awesome. So we're going into the belly of the beast with the Yankees for the last game.
Mm-hmm. Yankee Stadium.
The Bronx. Dude.
You have any score predictions?
The Jays are a much better home team than they are away. And so I don't think that they're gonna blow it open with an 11-run, another 13-run game. I think it's going to be close. I'm going to say 6-3 Blue Jays.
6-3 Blue Jays? You think they get after Rodon or they get after the bullpen?
The bullpen. But I think they, it's going to be the bullpen here because I don't think that they'll, after what we saw, how we saw them get on Freed, I don't think that they're going to do the same to Rodon. I just don't think that the same thing's going to happen twice, the way that they really attack their starters in the first two.
Mm-hmm. I think if they can hold the Yankees to 3, it'll be a miracle. Like, I feel like the Bronx, I don't know, it's kind of the crowds at the Yankee Stadium, kind of legendary, right?
Yeah, true.
They're not going to have the momentum on their side. If anything happens, there's going to be a lot of input from the Peanuts gallery.
That is a good point. New York is going to be rocking. Yeah. That is for sure.
New York's against the ropes, but they're going to be rocking. So, like, if we can see a 6-5 win, I will be happy. If we can see a 5-4 win, I can't imagine we're going to be anything like the splits that we saw in Rogers Center. And, like, I think keeping them off the scoreboard is the best thing that the Jays can do, because if the Yankees get any sort of momentum, they're going to be a very dangerous team.
Aaron Judge got to watch, right?
of course. He's
hot,
like,
take.
Yeah, he's from a different planet. But tonight's important, because then there looks like New York's going to end up throwing out Cam Schlittler tomorrow if they end up getting there. And if you guys saw him against Boston, he was as good as it gets. He was like Treya Savage, and I don't really need to see that guy twice. Mm. So hopefully they can take care of business tonight. Hopefully Shane Bieber can do what they acquired him for, which is get them to the ALCS, which would obviously be terrific. We want to go back to Toronto, but we do not want to go back to Toronto with New York.
Yeah.
True that.
We'd rather get back to Toronto after a significant rest, after finishing it off in this next game. So,
yeah, nice. A little week off wouldn't be too bad, right? The ALCS starts on Sunday, so if we can finish them off tonight, that'd just be terrific.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. So I think we're going to be finishing off here unless...
Mm-hmm. Nope, that's great. Golden Bold is back for another year. Happy once again to be the voice and the sound of Laurier Sports.
We're excited. We're gonna have a great year for you guys, and now we're gonna be checking out here. I'm Mike.
I'm Mateo.
And I'm Nate.
Awesome. Have a good one, guys. Bye bye.
Radical. This isn't live.